Yeah, okay. Last week we were talking about Baruch Hashem L'Olam, right? The Gemara discussed the Smichas Gula L'Tfilah. The Gemara asked, but we put Ashkeveinu in between, so the Gemara answered Gula Arechta. So then all of the Rishonim brought up the question of that which nowadays we have a new part of Maariv, which is not there in the Mishnah. The Mishnah seems to describe what the whole Maariv is. It's two brachas before Kriya Shema, two brachas after Kriya Shema. But then we have a new thing. Baruch Hashem L'Olam Amen Amen, followed by Yerayinu with a Malach Tamim Machalenu. And we discussed last week where does that come from. And then there was the follow-up question of why isn't that a violation of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah. And last week we really addressed, I think, three different responses to that. We saw that Tosfos said that it's not a violation of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah because it's considered a Geula Arichta. Rabbeinu Yoina said that it's not a violation of Smichas Gula L'Tfilah because it's considered a Tfilah Arichta. He said it because since once upon a time was really a replacement for Shemayin Esrei, so it goes together, Shemayin Esrei, it's a Tfilah Arichta. And then the third response was that the Rush said that, yeah, we're not really saying Gula L'Tfilah by Maariv because it's just a Rishus, Tfilah Saris Rishus, so if we need to throw something in, we throw it in, but if it's, when you don't, whatever you don't need to say, don't say, but if there's something that's a good reason to say, you say it, and since there was a good reason to make this Takana, so they made it. Okay, those are the three responses. Now, we should just, I want to just pick up the conversation because as we were ending last time, somebody brought up the issue of the different minhagim that exist nowadays. So there is a line in the Rabbi Yoina. That's interesting. We quote this commentary in the back of the Gemara that surrounds the riff. It says at the top of the page, Rabbi Yoina. It's really not Rabbi Yoina. It's really Talmidei Rabbi Yoina. And I would say 95% of the material is quoted from Rabbeinu Yoina, so it's not so bad to, you know, it's not such a terrible label to call it Rabbeinu Yoina. But over here you see something interesting. This is on Beis Amud Beis at the bottom, in the paragraph that starts with Yish Lishoyel, right, he raises the question of why do we say this in the middle of Maariv. And you see three lines from the bottom. It says, "Umiksas hachachamim hayu nimnoyim mila amram," but there were some chachamim that didn't say it at all. V'kach v'kach hayim minhagoy shel meiri haramban natcher rachman u'pirkei. That was the meaning of my Rebbe the Ramban.
What are the
Rashi tables? Nun Reish Vav stands for natcher rachman u'parkei. May God watch over him and save him. So that's. A bracha that was said while somebody was still alive. The equivalent to nowadays, people write shlita. In the times of the Rishonim, they would write nun reish vav. So, two interesting things. First of all, the Ramban didn't say Baruch Hashem L'Olam. But we'll return to that in a moment. What's also interesting over here is that in this sefer, it refers to Mayri HaRamban. And that created a rumor that it gained some traction and is discussed in the Chidah, a rumor that the Ramban was Rabbeinu Yoina's Rebbe. Because it says over here, you think you're reading Rabbeinu Yoina, and it says on the top, right, it says on the top of the page Rabbeinu Yoina. And he refers to Mayri HaRamban, my Rebbe the Ramban. But it's obviously a mistake, because look at the very next words. Avol Mayri Rabbeinu Yoina, Kerevai, Nasantam. Right, so obviously this author is a third party, it's not the Ramban, it's not Rabbeinu Yoina. He refers to his Rebbe, and he says, my Rebbe the Ramban did this, my Rebbe Rabbeinu Yoina, Kerevai, his relative, they were cousins. He did that. And Mechutan. Right.
I think it should have been
instead of Mechutan. Mechutan,
instead of Kroivai? Instead of Mayri.
No, but he wasn't Mechutan of the author. Again, the author here was a Talmud.
No, he gives the author a video.
Oh, right. They should have said it. Yeah. He wasn't, one was not the other one's Rebbe. But here, he quotes Mayri HaRamban, and that, I think, created that rumor. But be that as it may, so this commentary here is written by a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yoina, whom we now know was also a Talmud of the Ramban. Okay, but it's still the vast majority of everything that he quotes over here is from Rabbeinu Yoina. But over here he quotes Ramban, that the Ramban was noyig not to say Baruch Hashem V'Olam. And we could well understand why. Based on the Gemara that we learned, you're not supposed to say anything between Gal Yisrael and Shemayin Esrei. The Gemara asks the Kasha, how do we say Ashkeveinu, which it says in a Mishnah? And the Gemara says, well, that we could justify because it's a Gula Richta. But like we said last week with Shem the Rush, it's very hard to justify calling this a Gula Richta. What does this have to do with Gula? all the answers that we said last week were doichik answers. They really relied on the fact that, well, once upon a time, if there was some imperative to say it, then so it made it into the Siddur, and once it made it in and never made it out, then so we still say it. But the answers were not so satisfactory. So the Ramban said, I'm not just going to follow what everybody's doing if there's no good reason for it. So I'm not saying it. In the Balei HaTosfos, some of the Balei HaTosfos, they bring down the same thing from the Rashbam. The Rashbam was not noyeg to say it. So it's interesting. That's one from the Beis Medrash of Spain, one from the Beis Medrash of France. In both places, it seems that they were acting against the majority. Most of the Rishonim, both in Svarad and in Ashkenaz, did say it. But we find both in Svarad and in Ashkenaz that there were Yechidim that said, no, I'm not saying it. So the Ramban was noyeg that way. The Rashbam is quoted in the Rashba. It's interesting. The Rashba is a Talmud of the Ramban. But the Rashba doesn't say that the Ramban didn't say it. Rashba, he brings that the Rashbam didn't say it, but he doesn't bring that his own Rebbe, the Ramban, didn't say it. But be that as it may, you see that Rishonim quote the Ramban, other Rishonim quote the Rashbam. There's also some that quote the Maharam in Rutenberg. So here and there, there were individual Rishonim that didn't say it.
But heavy hitters.
But, right, prominent Rishonim, definitely. the Ramban, the Maharam, these are from the Gedolei HaPoskim. But the fact remains, again, I said the Maharam didn't, but his Talmud was the Rosh, and the Rosh is a much more prominent Pesach, at least for a future day race. And the Rosh doesn't say not to say it. The Rosh justifies it. He says, because Tfilas HaRis Rishus, so it's okay, and he seems to have been okay with saying it. So you have these few individual Rishonim here and there that were knowing not to say it. So in Shulchan Aruch, when they came on the Shulchan Aruch, they bring this down in the context of someone who comes late to shul. The Taz and the Magen Avraham, they both write that if someone comes late to shul, and now, a little bit late, and now he's saying Berachas Kriyas Shema, but he's a little behind. And if he says Baruch Hashem La'ilam, he'll be late for Shemayin Esrei, but he could start Shemayin Esrei together with the Tzibur if he skips Baruch Hashem La'ilam. So Zog the Taz, under these circumstances, you could be saying Bechon the Ramban, the Rashbam, these Rishonim that said not to say it, even though we don't paskin like them, but if you're in this kind of Shasat Chak, then you can rely on those Rishonim. Now, then if you go a little further down on the page, again, the Shulchan Aruch has a crowded page, and it has the Taz and the Magen Avraham at the top of the page, and a little lower down on the page is the Biur HaGra. So the Gra starts off, he says, Ayin B'Taz. See the Taz, meaning that the Taz brought this Ramban and Rashbam as something to rely on under certain extraordinary circumstances. And then the Gra adds, in his usual very concise style, V'nirish sheha ikur k'ramban v'rashbam. Says, but I think, not just like the Taz, that we could rely on them, if you're in a bind because you have to choose between this and Tfilah v'Tzibur, so then you rely on the Ramban. I think the Ramban is right. The Ramban, who never said Baruch Hashem La'ilam, he's right. And the Rashbam, who never said Baruch Hashem La'ilam, he's right. And Zok the Gra, I'm not saying Baruch Hashem La'ilam. He doesn't say those words. He just says the Ha'ikr, Ramban, Rashbam, that their position is correct. So the Gra, even though it was just, Yechidim among the Rishonim, but the Gra, I guess, maybe similar to those Yechidim, the Gra was very fearless. He chose the position that he thought was most correct. And Lemaisa, we saw last week three different ways of defending the practice, but all of them are a little bit forced. And the most straightforward halacha based on learning the Sugyas HaGemara is that you shouldn't be saying this. And true, once upon a time they made it because they had some kind of an emergency, but the emergency passed, and why should we say it now? So the Gra said, I think you shouldn't say it. That's what it says in the Biur HaGra. What happened in real life? So there's a wonderful sefer called the Maisa Rav, which was put together by Talmidim of the Gra, that records the Gra's minhag in many, many different areas of halacha. So over here, writes something fascinating. It says, as we would expect, based on the Biur HaGra, it says that the Gra never said Baruch Hashem La'ilam. He skipped it. However, the other people in his minyan said it. Now, what's surprising is the Gra had his own minyan, right? The people that, the Gra, he didn't go to any of the shuls in Vilna. He had his klois, and it was his Talmidim, the people that learned, I don't know, learned from him. I don't know to what extent they were Mamash Talmidim, where they learned by him at least, but the people that came to be with the Gra and they learned in the Gra's Beis Medrash, that's whom the Gra davened with. And you'd think that this was a very leader-centric group. These were people that were just there because of the Gra, and they would do everything the Gra did. But over here it says that in the Gra's minyan, they said Baruch Hashem La'ilam. But the Gra personally didn't. He didn't say it, but the other people in his minyan did. So it's a minhag ha'Gra, but it's a little bit of a watered-down minhag ha'Gra. Certain minhagim of the Gra that he held very stark, that, you know, this is what he held as the halacha, and this is what he told people, and people that follow the Gra, people that you know, consider themselves followers of the Gra, will always do that. But over here, he kind of hedged on this psak. There was his own personal psak, but it seems he felt reluctant to tell others, even his closest followers, what to do. Again, because it was deviating from a long-standing minhag. The long-standing minhag, no doubt, was that they said Baruch Hashem La'ilam. You know, we see that it was in the Rishonim, the Gaonim, the Rishonim. We see that it was in the Rishonim, both in Sfarad and Ashkenaz. It was a very widespread minhag, and the Gra was being pirish from that minhag. So he was pirish personally, but his Talmidim said it. But then, what's interesting now? There's also same time as the Gra, there's another great paisek, the Balatanya. Balatanya, we don't maybe first think of as a paisek. He wrote a Sefer on Chassidus. That's the Sefer Atanya. That's what he's maybe most famous for. But he also wrote on Halacha, and he also wrote a Siddur. And he in his Siddur, there's no Baruch Hashem La'ilam. And his followers, that's Lubavitcher Chassidim, they never say Baruch Hashem La'ilam. So it's a little bit ironic, because the Gra and the Balatanya, it's well known, were kind of adversaries of each other. But the two of them were united on this. The Gra, I think, you know, for the reasons of the Ramban and the Rashbam, that it's Shver al-Pi the Sugyas HaGemara, it seems hard to justify saying Baruch Hashem La'ilam. The Balatanya, maybe more likely because he wanted to do everything based on the Arizal, and I saw in other places that the Arizal, based on Kabbalah, advocated not saying it. So the two of them came to the same conclusion. So the Gra didn't say it, the Baal Tanya didn't, of course, by the Baal Tanya was him and all of his followers, but the Gra was just him. But what's interesting is that in Eretz Yisrael, as you know, if you've ever been to Eretz Yisrael, nobody says Baruch Hashem La'ilam, or almost nobody. It's a very, very widespread meaning in Eretz Yisrael, maybe it's universal in Eretz Yisrael, that you don't say Baruch Hashem La'ilam. And I think the way it's usually said over is because the early settlements in Eretz Yisrael were from the Talmidei HaGra, and the Gra said not to say it, so that's why in Eretz Yisrael nobody says it. There are certain minhagim in Eretz Yisrael that follow that script. Over here, I think it's a little bit schwer to say that, because it's true the Gra didn't say it, but in Vilna, in the Gra's Beis Medrash, they did say it. So the Talmidei HaGra, they were saying Baruch Hashem La'ilam when they were by the Gra. Then when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they would have stopped saying it and stopped others from saying it. That seems a little bit strange. There is a tshuva in the Shalas Tshuvas Achida. The Chida also lived at the same time. He was a contemporary of the Gra and the Baal Tanya. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He was all over. He was a traveler. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Mitzrayim, but he also lived in Europe for some of his life. He traveled around. But at any rate, he writes in a tshuva, he testifies that the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, for as long as anyone can remember, is that we don't say Baruch Hashem La'ilam, because that's the more correct hanhaga, bein benigla, bein benister. So that now, benigla we understand, because there's halachas michas gula l'tfila, and this really interrupts bein gula l'tfila, so it seems hard, like we said, hard to justify. All the Rishonim tried their best to justify it, but at the end of the day, it seems hard to justify. That's what means bein benigla. Bein minister probably means, because the Arizal said that in Kabbalah it's somehow more chashuv not to say it than yes to say it. And so the minhag in Eretz Yisrael was that this combination of factors made, which really probably means that it was really, I mean, what it sounds like is that it was really the hashpah of the Arizal. Because in the Nigla, nothing ever changed. I mean, for centuries before, the Rishonim were debating about this, it seems hard to justify, but it's an old minhag, and most of the Rishonim said, let's say it. And then If the Chida is saying, but here in Israel nobody says it because Beim Amigdal, Beim Nisr, what it probably means is that because the Arizal said not to say it, and then they said, well, considering that in Halacha there are also arguments in that direction, so that could corroborate this teaching of the Arizal. So let's follow the Arizal on this. That's my reading, I think, of this Shuvah Chida, where he says that there are Ta'am and Beim Amigdal, Beim Nisr. What it means is that they wanted to follow the Arizal, and they didn't feel bad doing it because there is a case that can be made benigla for this practice also. So that's why that became the practice. But what that means is that the Talmidim of the Gra did not really have; they're not responsible for what happened in Eretz Yisrael. They weren't saying it in Eretz Yisrael anyway before the Talmidei Gra came. What it means though is that you see before the Talmidei Gra, the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael were mostly Svardim. I mean, a little bit before the Talmidei Gra were some Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, and let's say in the 1760s, and a small group. And then in the 1780s and 90s, Talmidei Gra started to come, just a few years after. But until then, it was really the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael was predominantly Svardim, and this was the first significant influx of Ashkenazim. So apparently what happened was that in most things they went and they made different nusach. They were pirish from the minig of the Svaradim because they wanted to hold on to their own nusach, the minig Ashkenaz. But in this, they came. They found that in Eretz Yisrael nobody was saying it, that, you know, like the Chidah says, that was how they were knowing it, because they had their reasons, by minigla, by minister, which really means based on the Arizal. So nobody was saying it in Eretz Yisrael. So the Talmid Agra figured, what, we're going to go and be pirish from them, yes, to say it? Our Rebbe didn't say it. The only reason why we were saying it was not to be pirish from the whole Europe. But now we're in Eretz Yisrael, where it would be pirish from them, yes, to say it. So now let's follow our Rebbe, who never said it in the first place. Mustafa, we would have his blessing not to say it. And that's how these factors converged. So it was, the Talmidei Hagra remembering that their Rebbe didn't, and then seeing that coming to a new land where nobody did it. So that combination is probably what's responsible for the fact that in Eretz Yisrael nobody says it. So it's really an oversimplification to say that it's because the Gra didn't tell me the Gra. But okay, Lamaisa, that's the end of the story. That in Eretz Yisrael nobody says it, and it's this combination of factors, I think, that contributed to that.
The Gra also doesn't say the Shamru or...
That's true. The Shamru, I'm not sure what you mean, the Shtiklach, right, but the Shamru, he doesn't say, and that's...
Birkas Hamazon, he doesn't do the Harachim on it either.
Okay. But this is the same idea, because this is the about Smich Gula and the Tefillah. Right, they're also okay. That.
Well, before Yantov, I guess you won't say Tikkun.
Right. Those are all the same.
So Chabad doesn't say Bishamru either. So like, just like.
Uh-huh. So. Okay.
I may have missed this in the test. Why did they start Baruch Shalom?
Yeah, so last week we talked about three different answers to that, I think. It had to do, or maybe four, really. So, I don't know. I don't want to go over it now, because that was a good part of last week's share. Okay, let's... No, before we go on to the next Gemara, I have an interesting ha'ara. I saw in the Dirush Mishnah Berurah that he brought down a discussion from the Gedalia Poskim, including of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that what if somebody, right, we were talking before, if somebody's late, a little bit late to Maariv, could he cut out Baruch Hashem La'olam? So the Poskim talk about, what about, could he cut out Hashkivenu? Now it's interesting, the Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, obviously, if here in America, I come 1 minute late tomorrow, that's okay. I can always cut out Baruch Hashem Laila and I can catch up. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, so you know, say Baruch Hashem Laila. So the same 1 minute late comer, what's he going to do? So it's interesting then, the Dirush, they bring down Dafka from Eretz Yisrael, the Kapaiskim, that a lot of them talk about the Shaila. Could you cut out Hashkivenu? And Rav Shlomo Zalman said that really he thinks that in the Ikar Din you could, meaning skip it and make it up after Shemana Esrei. But he said it would really raise eyebrows. I haven't seen people do it. It would go against the minhag. So he says he doesn't recommend it. You should follow the minhag and get the Shemana Esrei a minute later. But really, he says, Meikra Din, it would be allowed. So I had the ha'ara that we saw over here the Taz and the Magen Avraham both, when they were discussing this question regarding Baruch Hashem La'olam, their reason for allowing you to skip it is because you anyway have Poskim that say you're not supposed to say it. You have the Ramban and the Rashbam who say you're never supposed to say it. So even though we don't ordinarily pass like them, but over here we can be mitzarif them. Now, I had a kasha when I was learning that. Why did they have to come on to that? I mean, my kasha was the rationale that Rav Shlomo Zalman was making about Hashkivenu. The whole Kriya Shema and the whole Birchas Kriya Shema, you're allowed to skip to say the tefillah with the tzibur. We mentioned that last week, that although we try to be Semech Gula tefillah by Arvis, but it's much less important than the Semech Gula tefillah by Shachris. And one of the places where that discrepancy comes into play is when it's in conflict with tefillah b'tzibur. When you have to choose between tefillah b'tzibur or smichas gula tefillah, so which one prevails? By shachris, smichas gula tefillah prevails. You have to daven in order, and even if that means you're going to get to Shemayin Esrei late and you're going to miss the tefillah b'tzibur, you still have to go in order. First Kriya Shema, the Birchas Kriya Shema, Gaal Yisrael, and then Shemayin Esrei. You can't do Shemayin Esrei before you Gaal Yisrael. But by Mariv, we say that if you come late, so late that the tzibur is starting Shemayin Esrei, so you just daven Shemayin Esrei, tefillah b'tzibur. You're not being Semech Gula Tefillah? Yeah, okay, if you can't be Semech Gula Tefillah, you won't. But we like to, but it's not so important that it prevails over Tefillah B'Tzibur. So, based on that, I understand that, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman made a cheshbon that if you could push away the whole Kriya Shema Brachas to get Tefillah B'Tzibur, so Kol Shekein you should be able to push away a little bit, Hashkivenu, to get Tefillah B'Tzibur. But I was bothered that based on that rationale, so why did the Magen Avraham and the Taz have to struggle so much to allow us to push off Baruch Hashem La'olam? And they said, since there's a Ramban that says you could skip it every day, so I'll at least let you skip it when you come late. Why do you need that? Just skip it because you could skip the whole Kriya Shema over Chesed. Kol Shekein, you could skip a little piece of it. Elamai, so why didn't they say that? Elamai, the Magen Avraham and the Taz, they both hold that even though you could skip Kriya Shema and the Brachas till after Shemayin Esrei, that's if you're going to keep it intact as a single unit. Kriya Shema Brachas is a single unit. We like to do it before Shemayin Esrei, but if you don't have time to do it before Shemayin Esrei, you could push it off. Right? It's more important to say Tefillah B'Tzibur, so you can push it off till after Shemayin Esrei. But you can't start cutting it up in the middle. Once you start it, you have to finish it. That's why they couldn't be mocked. You're pushing off the Baruch Hashem La'olam with a Kal V'Chaimer from pushing off Kriya Shema. Because once you started the brachas, you can't stop in the middle of the brachas. So therefore, it was very hard to be matir, pushing off brachas Shem La'ilam. But they said that af al pi kan we're going to be matir, because since you have in our back pocket, we have the Ramban, who says you don't have to say it all together. So even though we don't usually rely on him, but for the late coming, we're going to rely on him. But you see that they held, that you can't compare pushing off a little bit to pushing off the whole thing. You push off the whole thing, that's okay. But once you started it, and now you want to push off a piece of it, then you have a problem that you're breaking it up in the middle. They don't allow you to break it up in the middle. So if that's the case, I think it's clear from this Magen Avraham and Taz, they both said the same thing, that you wouldn't be allowed to push off Hashkivenu. If you started Kriya Shema, you said Ma'arav Rav Menavatayelam and Kriya Shema and Emes Ve'emuna, and you finished Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael, and now you want to say Shemayin Esrei immediately to say Tefillah B'Tzibur and then say Hashkivenu afterwards, you'd be breaking up the Kriya Shema in the middle. The Birchas Kriya Shema in the middle. And it seems muchach from the Magen Avraham and the Taz over here that they weren't going to allow that. So that's how it seems to me. It's a tzarech iyun on this psak of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Again, Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't say you should do it, but he seems to say that he thinks really you could do it, he just doesn't think it's so nice. So I have an aura from this paiskim. Very good question. It's good that you asked. When the Taz says that you could, if you come late, you could push off Baruch Hashem La'olam and you could skip it, he says, but you say it after Shemayin Esrei, which is interesting. Even though the Taz was invoking the Ramban, right? That he was allowing you to skip it because we anyway have the Shitas Ramban that skips it every day, so I'll let you push it off today. But even so, he was pretty strict. He said, but you have to make it up after Shemayin Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that there were other paiskim that were more makel, and they said they agreed with the Taz that you could push it off to, you know, you could jump, you could skip it for the sake of Tefillah B'Tzibur. And then they said, and once you're skipping it, you could just go on. Once it's skipped, it's skipped, and you don't have to say it afterwards. the Mishburim himself is machriya, that since I have some that say you should say it afterwards and some that say you shouldn't, so I think you should do it without the chasima. Meaning just do the brachas, but don't say the brachat Hashem. How does it go again? Yeah. Don't say the Barakat Hashem. Just go until there. That's the Mishabura's Hachra, because there are some that said yes to say it and some that said not to say it. Okay. Let's start the new Gemara. We're on Dalam Beis in the medium lines. Okay, there's three size lines on this page. So in the medium lines, two lines from the end of the medium lines, it says Amar Belazar, Amar Reb Avina, or Amar Belazar Ben Reb Avina. A very classic piece of Gemara here. Kala Oimer Tihila LeDavid B'chol Yoim Shalish Pamim Muvtachlei Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Whoever says Tihila LeDavid, right, that's the capital that we usually call Ashrei. Right? We saw Ashrei Shevetav Yaluchzela, and then. And then says Tehillah David. That's really the beginning of the Perek. That's Perek Kuf Mem Hey in Tehillim begins Tehillah David, our Mimcha Hashem. And Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Avina says that it's a very chashuv thing to say that Perek, Shalish Pamim. And one who says it, again, our gear says Shalish Pamim, move to Chalishu Ben Olam Haba, he's guaranteed to go to Olam Haba. So Gemara asks, "My Tama, why is it such a big deal to say that Perek?" And the Gemara considers two different possible reasons why it's such a big deal. Maybe what's great about that Perek is that it follows alphabetical order. Our Mimcha Hashem is the first, is Pasuk Aleph, and then Pasuk Beis goes B'chol Yom Ravchecha, and Pasuk Gimel is God El Hashem Olam Ha'Oid. Dal is Dar L'Dar Yishach Masachar. Every Pasuk begins with the next letter of the Aleph Beis. So it goes through the letters of the Aleph Beis, and that's something very chashuv. But for Ekti Gemara, if that's what makes it so chashuv, so we could do better than that. Name Asher Tamimei Terech. Why don't you say Perek Kuf Yud Ches, which also follows alphabetical order, but the Asiyah B'Tamanya Apin, but it goes through it eight times. Right? It had eight psukim that start with Aleph, followed by eight psukim that start with Beis. Of course, that's the longest Perek and Tehillim. It's 8 times 22 psukim. It's 176 psukim. So it's by far the longest Perek. I think that's just the longest Perek in Tehillim. The longest Perek in all of Tanakh, if I'm not mistaken. And it's 176 psukim. That's so you can't get more Aleph Beis than that. If you love Aleph Beis, and that's why you're advocating to say Tehillah L'David, so why don't you advocate for Ashrei Tamimei Derech? Right? Now that's a Havamina that really makes you, breathe a sigh of relief when the Gemara goes weiter. So no, we don't do that. And that would make for a very long davening. But the Gemara says, no. So obviously it wasn't the Aleph Beis that attracted us to the Perek of Tehillah L'David. So Ella rather mishum de'isvei poiseach es yedecha. Maybe it's because there's one pasuk in there that's mamash, a beautifully special pasuk. It says that Hashem poiseach es yedecha masmil l'chachay ritzayin, that you open your hand and you provide everything with what it needs, beratzayin, with goodwill. And that's such a beautiful pasuk that saying this parak gets you to Olam Haba. Okay.
Are we falling away from the first answer, or are we saying...
At this point we are, but we're going to bring it back soon. Yeah.
Because that's... I don't get it. I mean, when you give an answer, it's like, oh, that doesn't... Okay, so we'll give you another answer. So, what happened to the first answer?
It's going to come back. The Gemara is just building up to
hold
it.
Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, just give it a minute. It won't even take long. Trust me. The Gemara says, if we're so special as the Pasuk of Seich Zedekah, so then name a Halal HaGadol. Why don't you say Halal HaGadol? By the way, what's Halal HaGadol? That refers to the Perek. Hashem 26 psukim, each one that ends with Kila Elam Chastai. The Mishnah in Pesachim calls it Halal HaGadol, so our Gemara is borrowing that label from that Mishnah. Bahala Gadol, there's a pasuk in there that's a beautiful pasuk. Tiksibei Neisim Lachem Chol Basar. So, and then it says Kila Lam Chastai. So the Gemara thinks that should make it at least as good as Tehillah David. Paseach Sidach Masbil Chacharatzain is a nice pasuk because it talks about how Hashem provides all living things with what they need. Neisim Lachem Chol Basar says the same thing, that Hashem provides all living things with what they need. So the Gemara said, I was able to think of two wonderful things about this Perek, but each one is matched or even outmatched by a different Perek. So why is this your favorite Perek? Ella rather mishum de'espei tarti, because it has both. It has both milas together. The mila of aleph beis plus the mila of pesach hasedecha. Those two milas together you can't find anywhere else in Tehillim. That makes this a super special parak. And kol ha'omer, this parak b'chol yom or shalish pamah b'chol yom is moved to chol yishuv ben elam aval. Okay, blina there at the end of the shir, we'll come back to talk a little bit about what's the chashivas of these two inyanim. Let's continue the Gemara.
So I heard in the name of the Gro. Look, if you look at Rashi. Right?
Yeah.
This Beit Harti. Delsiv Olive Vase, Vieshbo Shvach Hachonis Mosul Cholchai. What does Rashi say?
Right. That's the Gemara, yeah.
So I heard in the name of the Gro that Kuf Yud Aleph is a Haluka, that's the Olive Vase. And it's Terif Nosan Li Reyov.
Very nice.
Rashi, what?
Tehillim Kuf Yud Aleph follows the state of the Aleph phase, and it also has a pasuk about how Hashem provides food. And the pasuk goes Teref Nasan Lireyav. So Rashi was thought that you'd be bothered by that kasha. What does Ashrei or Tilo David have over Kuf Yud Aleph if that also has Aleph phase and it has Teref Nasan Lireyav providing food? So Rashi emphasizes Hachonas Mazon L'chol Chai.
Not
that, just Lirayov. Right, that parak has Teref Nasan Lirayov by those that are deserving, but this parak has L'chol Chai, that's a higher level. Very nice. Okay, the Gemara continues. A little bit more about Ashrei. Again, we call it Ashrei. It's really not Ashrei. It's really Tehillat David. We always begin with Ashrei. Just if you want to turn to Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, there's a Gemara in Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis that says that you're supposed to wait. You're not supposed to jump right into Shemana Esrei. You're supposed to spend an hour, and then you daven Shemana Esrei. The Chassidim Harishonim were Yishayin Sha Achas. Doesn't mean they would wait an hour, or it means they would be davening for an hour before they would come to Shemana Esrei. But there's this inyan of leading up, building up to Shemana Esrei for an hour. And the Gemara says about three quarters of the way down the page, it says, "Minon Emili." From where do we learn this inyan of taking time to build up before you damage my Ashrei? Amar Mishurim and Levi, Amar Kra, the pasuk is Ashrei Yeshvei Vesecha. It's learned from this pasuk, right? Ashrei, fortunate is he who dwells in your house, meaning spend more time in the Beis Medrash. That's Ashrei Yeshvei Vesecha. That teaches us the inyan that you're supposed to take time before you damage my Ashrei. So if you take a look at Taisus over there, the bottom, the last Taisus on the page, Kedim Tfilasai, Minayin Shenemar Ashrei Yeshvei Vesecha. That's the next line of the Gemara, but it's the same in you, right? That you should wait before you daven Shemana Esrei. Ulefikach tiknu loymar zeh ha-pasuk kodim Tehillat David. And this is why we say this pasuk before Tehillat David. Because, we can tie it in. Assume that the pasuk of Tehillat David, or the parak of Tehillat David, is associated with being mesaper shvachet shel makom kodim sheyispalel, has to do with the building up before you come to Shemana Esrei, and since the pasuk that most expresses that inyan is Ashrei Yeshvei Vesecha, so that's why we say Ashrei Yeshvei Vesecha before Tehillat David. But then Taisus adds, La'afuki mehanu de'amri Ashrei Harbe. Taisus says, and I'm coming to disprove those that add other psukim of Ashrei before their Tehillat David. They make a whole bunch of, they gather from all over Tehillim psukim that start with Ashrei, and they put that before Tehillat David. No, this pasuk has a good reason to be put before Ashrei, but don't go piling other psukim before it. Now, we of course, right, we start Ashrei Shvevi Sechai Del Luchasela. That's justified based on the Taisus. But then we do Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alay, Ashrei Ha'am Shehashem Alekav. That's another pasuk of Ashrei. That's the Ashrei, what they call it, the Ashrei Tuba, right? The Ashrei Harbe. That Taisa says he has a light. Now, why do we do this? That, I mean, I think our justification is, but that's not Stam, a random Ashrei from elsewhere in Tehillim. That's actually the pasuk right before Tehillat David is the beginning of Kuf Mem Hei. That's the last pasuk in Kuf Mem Dalet. So we were married after that, even though they said, I don't want you going in piling up Ashrei, but that Ashrei we put in over there. But the one that really has the Makar in Rishonim is the Ashrei Yeshvei Vesecha. And then the Ashrei Yom Shekach Alay we sort of shoved in as well. Okay, let's finish the Gemara. Once we're on the topic of Ashrei, again, I mean, really, the topic of Tidal David. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, Mepnei Mal Loi Nemer Nun Ba'Ashrei. Hey, look at that. The Gemara already calls it Ashrei. Again, we're talking about the paragraph of Tidal David, but apparently this minhag of saying Ashrei Shavei Sechad for Tidal David goes back so far that when Rabbi Yechanan referred to this mizmar, he called it Ashrei. But what's he asking? Why is there no Nun? We said before that it goes by alphabesa, right? That all the psukim go in alphabetical order, and you have Malchuscha, Malchuscha, Mem, Mishadu, Bechal, Davidah, that's the pasuk for Mem. And then the next pasuk is Semech Hashem, Bechal, Aniklim, that's Samach. So it's skip Nun. This parak of Tehillim has a pasuk for every letter in the alphabet, but it skips Nun. So Be'echan asks, why does the parak skip Nun? Mepnei Madli Nemer Nun Ba'ashrei. Because it has the downfall of, he says, Seinei Yisrael, which he's using as Lashon Saginar, a euphemism, he really means Yisrael. There's a pasuk that says, Nafla Leisesef Kum Besulas Yisrael, that Israel has fallen and will never get up. All the Mepharshim ask that, so you found a nasty pasuk that starts with a nun, so that passes the whole letter nun. I mean, you can find nasty psukim with all the letters. There are a lot of psukim, maybe nasty is not a nice word, but scary. There are a lot of scary psukim in the Torah, in the Teichacha, in the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im are full of psukim that...
Depressing
psukim, right? Frightening psukim. But apparently there's something about this pasuk that you know, maybe because Nafal Leisesef Kum, a fall with never getting back up, that is unusual, and that made David HaMelech say, wow, I don't want to go anywhere near that pasuk. So I guess so as to indicate that, you know, I'm not putting that whole idea into my mizmar, so he skipped the letter nun. Yeah, of course there are other mizmarim in Tehillim that go in alphabetical order that do have nun. So, and the, you know, there are other psukim in that nice psukim with nun, but so there must be more.
That's from Amos.
Right?
Amos was after David?
He was. Yes, that's a good point. Right. Right. This is from Amos, that's from Sheyasar. And certainly those Nevi'im were long after David HaMelech. That's a nice aura. But okay, Vida doesn't make the Gemara continues. In Eretz Yisrael, they used to give a nice pshetel for that pasuk. That was such a scary pasuk. Nobody liked that pasuk. So in Eretz Yisrael, they said, here, we'll give you a nicer way to say the pasuk. Nafla v'leisaysif linpal. No, meaning, you put a comma after the leisaysif, and then it means she has fallen, but she will not continue to fall. Leisaysif linpal oid. Kum besulas Yisrael, get up besulas Yisrael. Now that's not what the pasuk how it really reads. The shrup, right? It's like a chassidish verse that you could be misaking the pasuk. The shrup on the pasuk is nafla leisaysif kum besulas Yisrael. So leisaysif kum is clearly one phrase, but in Eretz Yisrael they said here's a more positive way to look at it. Imagine that there was a comma after the Leisaysif, and then it would be saying, Nafal Leisaysif, don't continue to fall, Kum Mesulas Yisrael. Avram Nachem Yitzchak, Afilu Achri, Chazar David V'samcham Ruch HaKodesh. Although David HaMelech skipped the Nun, but he doesn't skip it entirely, he sort of alludes to it, Shenemar Semech Hashem L'chal Neiflim. The very next pasuk, the pasuk that starts with the Samach, refers to the Neiflim. As if to say that, you know, I'm not forgetting about those Neiflim. I skipped over the Nun because I didn't want to touch falling, but I'm not forgetting about those that have fallen, and I'm reminding you that Hashem supports those that fell. Okay, so that's something, again, there's obviously more going on here than I'm able to understand, but some nice thoughts over there about the end of Ashrei, the last half of Ashrei. But now let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara says, you're supposed to say, Tidal David B'chol Yoyim. And you see that it says Shalish Pamim. Are you calling me Tidal David B'chol Yoyim Shalish Pamim? You notice there's a little circle next to the word Shalish Pamim that refers sends you to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, the Gilyon Hashas. And over there he writes that in the Barush, Leisa Gimel Pamim V'chein B'tur V'rekeach, it just says Kala Ayim Tidal David B'chol Yoyim Muv Tachlai. many Rishonim, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Rif's gear. So also, the Rif brings down this Gemara in the fifth parak, and the way he brings it, no, actually, our the way we have it in the Rif is with the Shalish Pamim, but the Rosh, who also means to be quoting the Rif, so apparently there were different Gersoyes in the Rif, is without the Shalish Pamim. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger is alerting you to the fact that in the Rosh brings it down without these words, and the Torah brings it down without these words. But he doesn't mean to say that it's a mistake, because this was clearly Rashi's Girsa, because there's a Rashi, Divra Masla Shalish Pamim, where Rashi says, Keneged Shalish Tfilais. So Rashi had the Girsa of Shalish Pamim, they're supposed to say it three times a day, and the Rosh's Girsa was simply, you're supposed to say Tilo David every day, but not three times a day. Is there a lumdus to this Machlaikis? This question of, is the Gemara saying to say it one time a day, or is the Gemara saying to say it three times a day?
It's not Shalish
Tfilos.
That's
true, right? Rashi's Shalish Tfilos. The Marsha is Ma'ir this, that we don't say it once for Shachas, once for Mincha, once for Ma'ar. Marsha says that that's really connected with Kedusha. Whenever you say Kedusha, you say Ashrei. We say Kedusha in Chazaras Hashatz of Shachas and Mincha, and we say Kedusha in Uval Otsin. Those are our three Ashreis. The Rif brings down our Gemara in the fifth parak, where the Gemara says, Darash of Smloi, La'ilu Yisadir Adam Shvachay Shalmakam Ba'achar Kach Yisfalel. That a person should always be Mesadir Shvachay Shalmakam before he davens. You should say some praises of Hashem before davening, meaning before Shemayin Esrei. Of course, Shemayin Esrei has to come right after Gal Yisrael, because there's Nechaz Gula Tvila, so it means before Kriya Shema, before the Birchas Kriya Shema. So you're supposed to say some praises of Hashem before Birchas Kriya Shema. Then the Rif brings down our Gemara. They said that's in the fifth parak. And then the Rif says, and in the first parak we learned that he's supposed to say Tehillah David every day. And then the Rif goes on to bring a Gemara Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara says that Rav Yosi said Yehi Chelki in Gemri Hal B'chol Yoyim, that it's a very wonderful thing if you say Hal every single day. In fact, the Gemara, that wonderful thing, I learned somewhere else that it's a terrible thing. That anyone that says Hal B'chol Yoyim is considered a Macharif from a Gadeh. It's like you're blaspheming. It's a very terrible thing to say Hal B'chol Yoyim. So the Gemara answers, no, I don't mean that Halel, the Halel that we say on Yom Tif, that you're not allowed to say every day. But I mean Pesukah D'Zimra. Now, that Gemara mentions Pesukah D'Zimra. That's really the only place in Shas that you'll find that expression, Pesukah D'Zimra. But that Gemara says that there's an in say Pesukah D'Zimra every day. It's called Halal. It's like the alternative Halal. It's not the Halal that you're not supposed to say. It's the other Halal you're not supposed to say. And that's called Pesukah D'Zimra. And then the Rif adds some words and he says, and what is Pesukah D'Zimra? From Tehillah L'David until Kol HaNeshama T'Halal Ka. Tehillah L'David, that's the beginning of, again, what we call Ashrei, but it really begins with Tehillah L'David. Until Kol HaNeshama T'Halal Ka, which is the end of the last Halleluka, so that's the last six prakim of Tehillim, that's called Pesukah D'Zimra. The Rif brings, now, that's the Gemara in Shabbos. Again, we don't have in the Gemara, my nihu, mitil davar, Kol HaNeshama T'Halal Ka, we just have in the Gemara, Pesukah D'Zimra, but the Rif identifies that as being Tehillah L'David plus the following Mizmairim, and the Rif puts that Gemara together with our Gemara, of Kol HaYom Tehillah L'David B'chol Yoyim, which means that the Rif understood that our Gemara is referring to Pesukah D'Zimra. This inyan of Kol HaYom Tehillah L'David B'chol Yoyim Muvtach Lei Shuvu Ben Olam Haba is the inyan of Pesukah D'Zimra. Now, that doesn't fit well with the Girsa of Shalish Pamim, because you don't say Pesukah D'Zimra Shalish Pamim B'chol Yoyim. According to Rashi, it would seem that this is something totally unrelated to Pesukah D'Zimra. This is something special about this particular parak, and you should say it three times. Like the Marsha points out, it's connected with Kedusha. Pesukah D'Zimra, what's Pesukah D'Zimra? Well, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, right, that says that, you know, Yehei Chelki, I'm going to Mihal B'chol Yoyim, and the Gemara says, it doesn't mean the regular Hal, it means the Pesukah D'Zimra. And in our Gears of the Gemara, it does not say after that, Umay Nihu, and what is Pesukah D'Zimra, Tehillah of David, like the Rif brought down. Our Gemara just ends with the words Pesukah D'Zimra. And then see Rashi. Rashi on that Gemara in Shabbos says, and what is Pesukah D'Zimra? Rashi says, two Hilulim. The Hilul of Hallelujah Hashem Min HaShemayim And the Hilul of Halu Kel B'Kodshai, right? Which I think I'm quoting it right. I think that's the third and the fifth Halalukas. Rashi doesn't mention Ashrei. Rashi says that these two Hilulim, that is Pesukei Zimra. Now, obviously, it's grown and expanded. In all likelihood, Rashi was also noyeh to say Ashrei. But the nucleus of Pesukei Zimra, according to Rashi, is those two Hilulim. Hilulim, meaning the Mizmeirim that start and end with Halaluka, those are called Pesukei Zimra, and those two in particular. Ashrei is thrown in, that's an add-on to Pesukei Zimra. According to the Rif, our Gemara is about Pesukei Zimra. So that means the nucleus of Pesukei Zimra is Ashrei, and then the rest of it got, you know, it got expanded a little bit, you know, outward, so we go until the end of Kol Hashamata Halaluka. But according to the Rif, our Gemara is really a Gemara about Pesukei Zimra. According to Rashi, our Gemara is unrelated to Pesukei Zimra, and in fact, this Mizmer doesn't even have to be part of your Pesukei Zimra. The original Pesukei Zimra, the nucleus of Pesukei Zimra, did not include Tehillel David, according to Rashi.
So according to the Marsha, the first Ashrei, what Kedusha is it Mechubar with?
Kedusha of Chazor Seshat of Shachras.
Because
you can't put it any closer, uh-huh. Because you have to Semech B'Lulav Tevila. But since Shachras and Mincha both have a Kedusha and Chazor Seshat, so they both get an Ashrei before Shemayin Ashrei. Rabbeinu Yoina brings down that if you're a latecomer, again, we talked a lot about coming late to Maariv, what about if somebody comes late to Shachris? So if you come late to Shachris, you're allowed to be Makatzer on your Pesukei Zimra. You can shorten your Pesukei Zimra to catch up, to get up to, you know, because we prioritize trying to daven Mitzibra. Now, we should point out that Paiskim say, the later Paiskim, Alpi, the Mekubalim, they say that you should really try to avoid this at all costs, because when the Beis Yosef was visited by a Magid from Shemayim, the Magid told him that if the Pesukei Zimra has to be in order for the pipes to connect correctly. And if you jump around the Pesukei Zimra, then you're going to invert the pipes. Right? That's the Lashon. Meaning, of course, you know, that which Hashem is sending bracha down is, you know, through this system of, I'll call it, you know, imaginary pipes, right? We're using that as just a symbol, but the Pesukei Zimra is the Magid taught the Beis Yosef, the Pesukei Zimra is essential in putting those pipes in order, and if you skip Pesukei Zimra, then your pipes are broken. It's Mahapich Batsinayuetz. So we try to avoid it at all costs. But nevertheless, like the Mishnah Berurah, that's very nice. That's the very Musar of his Ayur, so you should always come on time, so you don't have to skip. But the fact that remains that Lahalacha, Tefillah B'Tzibur, is more important than getting every paragraph to get to Zimmer. So if you come late, you have to skip. So what do you skip? So Rabbi Yaina says that the most important thing is Ashrei. You say Baruch Sha'amar before, you Yishtabach after, and then just Ashrei. Because even though the Rif told us that Pesukei Zimra is from Tehillel David ad Kol Hashamata Halaluka, but though, you know, it starts with Ashrei. How do I know it starts with Ashrei? Because that's our Gemara. Our Gemara is Kol Ayim Tehillel David B'chol Yoyim. And that's, the Rif is learning that that's a Gemara of Pesukei Zimra. He puts it together with that Gemara in Shabbos. So that means that the nucleus of Pesukei Zimra is Tehillel David. So if you can only afford one thing, make it Tehillel David.
So that's what Rabbeinu is learning.
Right, Rabbeinu here is a commentary on the Rif. He's on this Rif. He says this halacha. According to Rashi, very likely that wouldn't follow. According to Rashi, our Gemara is not related to Pesukei Zimra. What's Pesukei Zimra? Hilulim, Kapitlach of Halaluka. So the real nucleus of Pesukei Zimra is the third and the fifth Halalukas. So according to Rashi, I would expect the halacha to be that if you have to skip around the Pesukei Zimra and you can only say one thing between Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach, it should be a Halaluka. The third or the fifth, I guess depending on how much time you have, the fifth is a lot shorter than the third. But that's what we should prioritize. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch brings down both. He says that if you don't have time and you have to skip in Pesukei Zimra, try to just say Ashrei and the third and the fifth Halalukas. Because he's putting together the Rashi and Rabbeinu Yoina. And then he says, and if push comes to shove, so take Ashrei. So why does it say that? Maybe because he's passing like Rabbeinu Yoina over Rashi. Again, Rabbeinu Yoina is up here the Riff and the Rosh. So maybe that's a preponderance of Rishonim. Or maybe because Rashi is being less particular, even though Rashi mentions those two Mizmerim, but maybe since we don't find anywhere in the Gemara something that there's a special halacha said about those Mizmerim, so maybe it's more, according to Rashi, it doesn't matter so much what you say. You should just say a Mizmar. So Asher is also a Mizmar. Even if that's not the first one they would have picked. But Asher is also a nice Mizmar. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, it's very bedafka. That is, if Pesukim Zimmer really is built out of our Gemara, then Tehillah David is the nucleus, and if you can only say one thing, it's got to be that. According to Rashi, there's really no Gemara that tells us what Pesukim Zimmer is. There's just a Gemara in Shabbos that mentions Pesukim Zimmer. And Rashi says he thinks that meant originally Mizmarim of Hillel, but maybe any Mizmar will do. So maybe with Asher you could be Yetzi L'chol HaDeis. But it remains, so again, so the Nafkamina L'Halach is maybe not such a strong Nafkamina, not such a Bedafka Dika Nafkamina. But there's definitely a difference that according to Rashi, our Gemara is not about Pesukim D'Zimra. Where in Shas does it talk about Pesukim D'Zimra? The Gemara in Shabbos. But not our Gemara. According to the Rif, our Gemara and the Gemara in Shabbos are really one and the same. That Gemara calls the Pesukim D'Zimra, our Gemara calls the Tehillah David, but it really means the same thing.
I mean, it's interesting, the Nusach Ashkenaz, many of the same people do, after Baruch Shammah, would seem to make a lot more sense than...
The Torah also says it makes more sense. Okay, so since Julie's bringing it in, there is, as we all know, there's a chiluk in Hagen between Nusach Sfarad and Nusach Ashkenaz, and that's just Nusach Sfarad, right? The meaning of the Sfarad, the Edot HaMizrach. The Torah brings this down. The Torah says that some people say Baruch Sha'amar after Ha'idu. Again, these are all later additions to the Siddur. I mean, again, they're mentioned in the Rishonim, but not in the Gemara, and not even in the early Rishonim. The early Rishonim we have that Rashi says Pesukim D'Zimra was two halukas. The Rif says it was Ashrei Til Kol Neshamot Halka. And the Rif also tells us about the brachos. These brachos don't appear in the Shas, but the Rif tells us, there's a very old minhag to say brachos before and after Pesukim D'Zimra. That's Baruch Shamar and Yishtabach. Now, as we know, since then, lots of other things have been added. We say the Shiras Hayam, we say Vayivarech David, we say Yehi Chvoy, we say Haidu. So all of these, they're mentioned, the Torah, the Beis Yosef, they bring down that these things are mentioned, you know, some earlier, some later. But none of them are mentioned in the very early Rishonim. But the Torah says that some people say the added Mizmerim before Baruch Sha'amar. But in Ashkenaz, we said Baruch Shamar at the beginning. Everything went into what came after the bracha. And he says exactly like you said, Shuli. That seems to be a better minhag, because why not put everything into the bracha? Now, if there's an inyan, if there's a chashivas of making a bracha on this, so make the bracha on everything. But the minhag of Svarad was that all the added mizmerim were put before Baruch Sha'amar, although that it's also not mamish all, because Yichvoid is added stuff, and that's after Baruch Sha'amar, according to all. And Mizmel Seida also, right. Mizmel Seida, if I'm not mistaken, I was just looking around a little bit today. In the older, in Rishonim I saw, I'm not sure where it comes from to say Mizmel Seida. In Rishonim I saw a minhag that Mizmor Shilim HaShabbos Tevel HaYedis LaShem, it said every day. The difference is only that on the Yimei HaChoyel they started the Tevel HaYedis LaShem, they left out Pasuk Aleph, and on Shabbos they said Mizmor Shilim HaShabbos, meaning they said the Mizmor every day, they just alternated whether they would include that first Pasuk which identifies it with Shabbos. And according to that meaning, they never said Mizmor L'Seida. I don't remember where, obviously somewhere was introduced to say Mizmor L'Seida, and yes, we were all naked to say that after Baruch Sha'amar.
Rambam doesn't weigh in on it?
What?
The Rambam doesn't weigh in on it?
I didn't look in the Rambam. I'm not sure how much of Pesukim D'Zimra he has, what he has for Pesukim D'Zimra. But I did see that it's brought down that the minig of Svarad, again, this doesn't mean the Svarad of, you know, the Arizal and the Kabbalah, from the times of the Rishonim, the minig of Svarad was that the added Mizmerim was said before Baruch Sha'amar. So I don't have so much of an explanation. Again, the Torah just says he thinks that the minig of Ashkenaz makes more sense. But I did see that in the Beis Yosef, where he brings down the Aruch Chaim, who is one of the, you know, one of the Rishonim, and he writes about saying Haidu at the beginning of Pesukim de Zimra, and he writes that the reason why we say those Pesukim, which by the way, these Pesukim are not from Tehillim, they're from Divrei HaYamim, but they are Pesukim of David HaMelech, meaning in Divrei HaYamim it says that David HaMelech said these. And there's a...
Which Pesukim?
The whole long how you do.
That's
which,
Tehillim.
What?
That's in Tehillim.
Are you sure?
Yitzchak.
I'm not sure what you're referring to with Yitzchak.
No, you say Yitzchak, and in Tehillim it says Yitzchak. It's almost 100%. There's a couple of Shinuyim.
Okay.
Tehillim.
Okay. Okay.
Baruch David is the very young.
Is what you're
saying? Donnie, you know, you can argue against me, you can argue against the Gemara, but you can't argue against an art scroll. I'm holding an art scroll sitter in my hands.
Yeah.
And it says before how you do, Divrei HaYamim. So, okay, no, but I'll take your offer. You mean it's in both places, just with small differences. Okay, fine. Al-Kapanim, the Aruch Es Chaim brings down, he refers to it as Pesukim in Divrei HaYamim, I think, and he says, brings him a chazal that David HaMelech said these psukim in connection with the carbon tamid. So I was just thinking that maybe the idea was that we put it, you know, we call it the beginning of Pesukim de Zimra. Maybe the Nusach Svard was that this, we're not saying this is part of Pesukim de Zimra, we're saying this as part of Karbonos. We start davening, right, we say brachis, and then we say Karbonos. And of course, you know, we say a Kaddish after you Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, so we think of that as the end of that section of davening, and now begins the next section of davening. But maybe the idea in the Nusach Svard was that this is really still part of Karbonos. And because the reason why we say it is because David HaMelech said these Pesukim with the Karbon Tamid, so we put it together with our Karbonos, and then we say Baruch Shamar, and we begin Pesukim de Zimra. So the machlekes is really whether we're saying this as part of Pesukim de Zimra, or to put it maybe in more lumdish terminology. Right, Pesukim de Zimra is based on the Gemara on Daf Lamed Beis, where it says La'olim is sader adam shvachei shalmakim ba'achakach yispalel. So why are we saying Ashrei and Haluka? That's to be mesader shvachei shalmakim before we're mispalel. But why are we saying Haidu? So if you daven nusach Ashkenaz, that's also to be mesader shvachei shalmakim. But if you daven nusach Svard, that's to get into the feel of Karbon Tamid. If we were really bringing a Karbon Tamid, we'd be singing Hayu L'Hashem Ki Tov. So, I'm sorry, Hayu L'Hashem Ki Rishmai. So since we're saying Karbonos now, so we say Hayu L'Hashem Ki Rishmai to complete the setting of Karbonos. So that's why it's before Baruch Shamar. We're not up to the Yisad Mishvach Shamakai V'Achach Yisvah part of the davening yet. We're still in the Karbonos part of the davening. Now, of course, this doesn't for everything, right? On Shabbos, there's many mizmayim that Nusach Ashkenaz puts after Baruch Shamar and Nusach Svar puts before Baruch Shamar. I don't know what the reason is for that, but maybe that was just an outgrowth. You know, if maybe it started with Haidu for this reason, because it was connected with Karbonos, and then Nusach Svar was Noyik to put Baruch Shamar later, connected with just Yichavayit or Mizbashir. So the things that get added on Shabbos also follow the same pattern. I'm not sure. But Al-Kaponim, this is a little bit of a more alumnus explanation of this difference between Nusach Svar and Nusach Ashkenaz. Okay, I had promised to get back to the Aleph Beis and the Pesach HaSedecha, which we don't really have time. But I'll just mention the Maror Makom. There's a very beautiful piece in the Meshech Chachma at the beginning of Parshas B'chukosai. You know, when I say Shal Shudda, so it's a 10 or 15 minute verb, but I'll try to say it in 30 seconds or so. He says that the idea is that, you know, when Hashem splits the Yam Suf, so that's great. You know, that's very impressive. But far more impressive is that he was able to set up a system, right, on day one, in the Shishis Mei Bereishis, set up a system of biology and chemistry and physics that would keep things running in such a way, the whole ecology, the way everything interacts with everything else, that every chai finds its through the Derech HaTeva. That, he says, is represented by the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis, the idea of the Pesukim following the order of the Aleph Beis is that everything is masudur and predictable, and there's a cause and effect. you know, a nace is like something coming out of left field. Like, you know, you're marching along over here, and then all of a sudden, boom, something comes from over there. When the psukim follow the order of the aliphase, that means, no, everything is just masudur and predictable. Everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to happen. And the idea that you can cover every possible scenario so that every bria, every animal in the bria is able to find this mazain just with the rules that you set up, and then you just press go and it works on automatic. And yes, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't, you know, he wasn't perished from the bria, but he set up rules that allowed him to just press go, and then for thousands of years and for millions of years also, or every chai will find his sviya based on those rules that Hashem made, and it'll work like aleph beis. That will A leads to B, and B leads to C, and C leads to D, and D leads to E. All these natural processes are able to be masvi l'chol chai rotzayin. That's the godless that it's trying to bring out. So it's that siruf of aleph beis with pesach tzedekah. That's the sidri hateva, and they cover every need. That's the shevach of the hilul adam.
Because if you don't appreciate
right.
What do you say?
Very good.
The Mechayer from Agadis, why? If you say Hal every day, the Mechayer from Agadis, why? Because that means you don't appreciate what nature is.
You only appreciate the Kriyas Yamsov. Yeah, that part actually, the Shachma says that also, but that part is Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina on this Gemara, on this riff that we were saying over today, Rabbeinu Yoina says that part.
The Shachma himself says it's a lot like the Ramban.
Yeah.
That you said
he acknowledges the Ramban that you follow Teva is the biggest name of all. But based on that Neshachma,